Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is WebSphere Transformation Extender Troubleshooting Techniques Adapters. Today's presenters are Arun Ramamurthy and Phil Van Balen. Arun has been working with and supporting WebSphere Transformation Extender for 10 years. Phil has been supporting WebSphere Transformation Extender for 9 years. Their support duties involve troubleshooting WebSphere Transformation Extender on multiple platforms. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Arun and Phil.
Thank you, Joseph. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the WebSphere Transformation Extender Troubleshooting Techniques for Adapters. This presentation is intended for beginners to the WebSphere Transformation Extender software. And Joseph, could you please move to slide 2? For today's agenda, we'll be looking into covering some of the basic debugging techniques for the commonly used WTX adapters, such as database adapters like Oracle, messaging adapters such as IBM MQ series, utility adapters such as batch and shell adapters, zip and tar adapters, and file and sync adapters. Please move to slide 3. Communication adapters such as FTP, HTTP, SOAP, Socket, and Java class, SAP pack adapters like AAD and BAPI, and finally, we'll be going over some information on contacting technical support to get a speedy resolution to all your issues. Please move to slide 4. For debugging adapters, some of the methods that can be used are you can enable and check the adapter trace files, which can be done by setting the minus T option in your adapter command line. The adapter traces can also be generated dynamically from management console when using launcher. Please note when using this option, the trace would be generated for all the adapters being used and not for a specific adapter. And you could look into the map audit logs for any information on the errors for the adapters. And when using the adapter command line in your map rule, you could, with functions such as get or put or dblookup dbquery, you could use a combination of other functions such as valid, fail, along with last error message, last error code, and try to get any error information in your map audit log as well. You could enable the connections manager tracing in your dtx.ini and look into the compound system logs for any further information to debug on the adapter errors. And at a top level, when using a launcher, you could always look into the management console in the failures tab for the adapters and try and see what kind of adapter errors are you encountering and then go with further debugging. Please move to slide 5. Now let's discuss on the debugging steps for database adapters. The commonly used database adapters are Oracle, DB2, Microsoft SQL Server, ODBC. Please move to slide 6. Let's look at the debugging steps for Oracle adapter. Note the debugging steps for other database adapters would be very similar. The differences would only be in the type of error messages and written codes, which would vary from database to database. For debugging the Oracle adapter, database adapter, the first step would be to enable the tracing by setting the minus T option in your adapter command line. Minus TE could also be used, which is for trace on error, and this would present only the error information and would not be detailed. And along with this, you could use the plus to append the trace files for subsequent map runs and also specify a full path and a file name for the trace to be generated in a particular path and a file name. If a full path and a file name is not specified, the default database trace file name would be mapname.dbl. The map name is whatever the name of the map that you're using, .dbl, and it would be generated in the maps directory, wherever the compiled map, MMC, is located. Please move to slide 7. Database Interface Designer is an interface tool that is used to make database connections from your WTX maps. there may be situations when you encounter database errors or when you encounter errors connecting to the database from the DAD tool as well. So in those situations, you could enable and look into the trace as well. And to enable the trace, you click on the trace icon as shown in the slide. Please move to slide 8. And then in the database interface designer, double-click on the tables icon, which brings up the list of the tables for that particular user ID being used. If the connection is successful, it does display the list. But in the event of an error, you could click on the trace toggle icon, which is next to the trace icon, as shown here. And this would bring up an additional screen with the database trace information. Using this information, you can try and narrow down what kind of problem you're encountering and then take the corrective steps. Please move to slide 9. And in the database trace and the map audit log, when errors are encountered for a database adapter, you notice the database adapter return codes. Along with this database, WTX database adapter return codes, you also notice the Oracle or the database SQL error codes with the error information. Note, this Oracle SQL error code can be very useful in trying to get any further information to try and resolve the problem. If the information presented in your trace is not helping you for some reason to resolve the problem, in those instances, you could use this Oracle SQL error code and do a search in your database documentation or search on the web to see if there are any further steps or information available that can help you to narrow down the problem and resolve the problem. Please move to slide 10. And as we discussed earlier, the database adapter can be used at the card level in the map properties directly, or it can be used in a map rule as well. When used in the map card, the map audit log would have the information on the adapter errors, any errors encountered. Also, the trace can be generated by using the -t in the adapter command used. When used in a map rule, the -t can be used as well, or -te, to generate the trace file. And here are a couple of examples of DB lookup with the -t and the -te options that can be used. Please move to slide 11. Now let's review the database trace file. Here is an example of a database trace file for a successful operation. The trace file has different sections to it. It gives us the information on the version and the type of database being used, the version of the WTX database adapter being used, the host string, user ID, password which would be encrypted, the query that's being executed, along with the results from the query, and finally, if the return status was a success with the return code 0. This can be seen in the highlighted section. Please move to slide 12. Here are a couple of examples of our database trace files when errors are encountered. The first example shows us an error that's encountered due to incorrect logon parameters. Please note the adapter return code of -1005. Also note the Oracle error code of ORA01017 with the error message of invalid username password logon denied. So this information will be very useful for you to understand the kind of problem you're encountering. Also with that error code, you can also search in your database documentation, see if there are any additional steps or information that you can gather to try and resolve the problem if the information presented in the trace is not helping you. In the second example, an error is encountered due to the incorrect table name being used. Note the Oracle error code in the highlighted section that's shown with the error code of ORA00942 and the message of table or view does not exist. So based on this error, you could always look in the same database trace file, and in the query that's being displayed, you can check if the table name being used has a typo error. And if you notice any kind of errors, you can take the corrective steps and then re-execute your map. In this case, the query being executed was select star from test 10, and the test 10 table did not exist in the database. Hence, we encountered this issue. Please move to slide 30. And we could look into the map audit logs as well for any database errors or the messages or return codes from database. And here are a couple of examples for map audit logs for a success as well as a failure when using database adapters. In the first example, in the highlighted section, you can see the adapter return of 0 with a message of success when the operation is successful. Where in the event of an error, you can notice for the target report card 2 database adapter type DB, an adapter return of -1037 is displayed with a message of table is not accessible. So there may be situations in your environment, like for example in a production environment, when you may not be able to enable the database traces as it might affect performances or due to other limitations, and the map audit logs may be available. So in those situations, you could always look into the map audit log to try and narrow down on the get more information on the kind of problem database error you're trying to get, and then take the corrective steps. If the information in the audit log is not helping you, then you would have to enable the database trace with the minus T option and then look into the trace file, as that can give you much further information than what's presented in the audit log. Please move to slide 14. And when using the database adapters on Unix, one of the most common errors that is encountered is failed to load shared library error, and a return code of -1027 is written. And as soon as you notice this error in your trace file, the first step that you would want to do is make sure that your database client is in your library path, and also make sure the correct version of the database client is in your library path. Like, for example, what I mean is, if you are using a 64-bit WTX application, then you need to ensure the 64-bit Oracle client is what is in your library path. Else, you may be noticing these errors in your trace files when trying to make a connection to the database. Also, for Oracle, you would need to make sure that you have the Oracle home set. Please move to slide 15. Let's discuss on the debugging steps for messaging adapters. The commonly used messaging adapters are IBM MQ Series, JMS, Oracle AQ. Please move to slide 16. Let's discuss on the debugging steps for MQ adapter. And the first step would be to set the tracing on with the minus T option. The E and the S options could also be used along with the full path and the file name. Also, the append of plus can be used for the trace to append the trace for the consecutive map runs. And if a full path and the file name is not specified for the tracing option, the default trace file would be, the default trace file name would be mqtrace.log. And this would be generated in the maps directory wherever the MMC is located. And in the MQ trace as well as in your map audit logs, along with the WTX MQ adapter return codes, you notice an additional error code also, which would be from MQ series, which is the reason codes from MQ. Here are a couple of examples for MQ reason codes. And similar to the database and SQL error codes, these MQ reason codes can also be very helpful in trying to determine and get more information on the kind of errors that you're encountering for your MQ when using the MQ adapter. And you could look into the search in your MQ documentation or on the web for any further information or further steps that can be taken. Please move to slide 17. Let's review the MQ trace file. Here is an example of an MQ trace file when the operation is successful. And the trace file gives us information on the adapter command being used with the queue manager name and the queue name. And then it displays whether it was successful in making a connection to the MQ queue manager, if it was successful in connecting to the and opening the MQ queue, it was successful in either getting or storing a message in a queue, committing the unit of work, and then doing the disconnects, and finally, if the return status was a success and if the return code was zero. Please move to slide 18. Now let's review the MQTrace files when errors are encountered. Here are a couple of examples for the MQTraces for errors. The first example shows us an error that's encountered due to the incorrect queue name being used. Note here the adapter return code of -1003 with a message of queue could not be opened. Also note the MQ series error reason code of 2085. So these error codes or reason codes can be used to get further information or do a search on your MQ documentation. The second example shows us an error that's encountered due to an incorrect queue manager being used. And here the MQ reason code of 2058 is displayed. Also using the same trace file, you could check the name of the queue manager and the name of the queue name that is being used or that's being connected to with which you're getting this error. And you can check if there's a typo error, etc., and then take the necessary corrective steps. Please move to slide 19. And you could look into the map audit logs as well for the adapter errors when using the adapter in your map cards directly, or when using the map, when using the adapter in your map rules, you would need to make sure that you use the valid trail and last error message, last error code, and then you can look into the map audit logs as well. Here are a couple of examples of map audit logs when using the MQ adapter in the map cards. The first example shows us an adapter return of zero with a message of success when the operation is successful. And when a failure is encountered, note in the highlighted section for target report card 1 and an adapter type of IBM MQ server, the adapter return of -20 with a message of queue could not be opened as displayed. So with this information, you could always try and track what kind of errors or if the queue name is, if the queue exists or if the queue name is correct, etc., and then take the corrective steps. Please move to slide 20. Similar to the database adapter, for the MQ adapter, you need to ensure on when using on Unix that the MQ client is in your library path and the correct version of the MQ client is in your library path as well. Else, you may notice an error such as adapter not found error in your trace files or audit logs. The error could be slightly misleading, but still, this error would be encountered if the MQ clients are not in your path, and when WTX tries to communicate with the MQ, you may encounter this error. And as soon as you see this error, the first step would be for you to ensure that your MQ client and the correct version of the MQ client is in your library path. Please note, for any WTX adapters for third-party applications, when using on Unix, make sure that you, if their respective clients are in your library paths. Else, when WTX tries to communicate with those third-party applications, you may notice some kind of errors when trying to connect. So the first step for you to make sure would be to make sure that the paths and the library paths have those clients in path and can be accessed by the WTX application for the user ID and the session that you are using and connecting from. Please move to slide 21. Let's look into the utility adapters and the debugging steps for utility adapters. The commonly used utility adapters are batch and shell adapters, zip and tar adapter, and file and sync adapters. Please move to slide 22. For the batch and the shell adapters, the first step to debug would be to enable the tracing by setting the -T option. Note here, there's an additional setting and option that can be used with the -T, which is the V for verbose. Using the verbose gives you much more adapter activity information in your trace file than with the general tracing option. And using this option, it could also give you the information on the data being sent, the type of data and the bytes of the data being sent and received, etc. And this can help you in trying to understand the different adapter sequences and steps. Also for the batch and shell adapter, an additional step that you can try and do always is you can try and execute the batch file or the shell file outside of the WTX map and see if those execute successfully or if errors are encountered. If any errors are encountered, you can try and correct those outside the WTX maps first and then try and execute from the WTX maps. Those can help as well. Please move to slide 23. Here is an example of a batch adapter trace file for a successful operation. And the adapter trace file gives us information on the version of the batch adapter being used, the batch file name and the path from where it's picked up, if it was successful in executing the commands in the batch file, and finally, if the run completed successfully with the return state of success. If any errors are encountered, the batch file will show those errors as well, depending on those errors. Please move to slide 24. Now let's look into the zip and tar adapters. Note, for the zip adapter, setting the -T does not generate a trace file. And so for the zip adapter, you would have to depend on the map audit log to trace any kind of information for the errors that you may be encountering. But for the tar adapter, using the -T does generate a trace file, and that is on Unix environments. So the zip adapter which is used on Windows, -T does not help us to get a trace file, and you would have to depend on the map audit logs. And here are a few adapter return codes that you notice in the map audit log when errors are encountered or if the return status is success, etc. Please move to slide 25. And here are examples of our map audit logs for when using the zip adapter for a success and a failure. So when an operation is successful and the map executes successfully, note in the highlighted section for the source report of card 1 and the adapter type of archive zip, an adapter return of 0 is displayed with a message of OK. And when a failure is encountered, an adapter return of -1 with an appropriate error message here in this situation, file name not specified or invalid file or file operation error is encountered. So basically this error was encountered because the zip file that we were trying to unzip in the source was not available, and so the map failed, displaying this error information in the map audit log. Please move to slide 26. File and sync adapters are two of the most basic WTX adapters, and there are not much tracing options available because most of the common errors that are encountered using these adapters would be related to either permissioning or disk space or memory, etc. And you could always look into the map audit logs for any kind of error information on these adapters. Also, for the file adapter, when used as an input trigger in your launcher, you can enable the file log tracing in your dtx.ini and look into that particular or respective file trace to see what kind of information is available for your input trigger files, if the permissioning, pathing, file name, etc. are correct or if there are any errors, etc. But for other related information, you would have to look into the map audit logs. Also, you could enable the launcher and the launcher tracing in your DTX-INI and look into the compound systems logs for any information on the adapters or when used from launchers, etc. as well. If you know how to read the compound system logs and understand them, you can always use that option as well. As for the sync adapter, it is used as a temporary data destination for your output cards, and then the data is discarded. So in situations when you do not want to send output data to stationary destinations and you want to discard the data after the map processing in your output cards, you basically think of using sync adapters. And because it does most of its processing in memory, the sync adapters are memory intensive. So you would need to make sure and understand when developing and designing maps, if you know a particular map is going to be processing very large amounts of data, if not now at some particular point of time and later, and you know you're going to be using a multi-threaded environment, and you have several output cards where sync adapters are being used, or you're planning to use sync adapters, maybe you want to rethink. Why? Because simply because sync adapter is used as a temporary destination and discards its data and does most of its processing in memory, it is memory intensive. So you could easily run into a situation such as out of memory errors that you may encounter. In those situations, you could always look into using something like file adapter and not create option. So, and that would not be memory intensive or using so much memory, and you should be okay. Please move to slide 27. At this point of time, I will turn the presentation over to Phil Van Balen.
Thank you, Arun. And welcome, everyone. Thanks for coming. We're going to look at some of the communication adapters and some of the common debugging techniques for that. We're going to look at the FTP legacy version adapter, the HTTP adapter, SOAP adapter, the socket adapter, and the Java class adapter. Please move to slide 28. Okay, now we're discussing troubleshooting the FTP legacy adapter, and that is the adapter that has historically been used with WTX. In the latest versions, we're moving to the WebSphere, just plain WebSphere FTP adapter, and we do not directly support that. If you are using that, we can engage the support team that supports the WebSphere FTP adapter. But for those that are still using the legacy adapter, the main troubleshooting tool is, of course, using minus T to generate the FTP trace. And that can be done in a map rule or a command field of an input or output card. A default FTP trace file name is m4ftp.mtr, and the default location is the map directory. And they can both be changed to user-specified names and locations by setting that in the command field. There are also options that are available to be used with minus T, which provide enhanced tracing. In the slide there's an example of these options. One of them is V, which is verbose, which Arun had covered previously. We also have plus for append, and there are some undocumented options as of 8.3. They're undocumented. ST shows the timestamp of each FTP operation. SPID shows the process ID for tracking multiple WTX application runs. And STID shows the thread ID for tracking multiple map runs. And you just kind of chain them together, as you can see in the example, for one long trace string. And these are getting to be the norm as far as using them. So if you encounter a problem with the FTP adapter and you feel that you're going to have to engage support, I would recommend that you just go ahead and add these by default, and then the trace that you provide to support will have the this information already in it. Please move to slide 29. And here's an example of the difference. The trace snippet up on the left is just minus TV. That's just a plain verbose trace. And then on the lower right, it's the same section of trace with the extra options. And you can see that there are numbers prepended to the each line of the trace. And what they are is the first nine characters are the timestamp. Then the next four are the PID, the process ID, and the last four are the thread ID. And in this particular trace, they're all the same all the way down. But if you were in a situation where you were appending the trace and your maps were running at different times or you were multi-threading, that type of thing, then you would see different process IDs and thread IDs and that type of thing. And that really comes in handy to see exactly what's happening with the FTP connection over time. Please move to slide 30. Okay, for the HTTP and SOAP adapters, we're covering them together because they're often used together. The adapter traces, again, are the main troubleshooting tools to diagnose problems. The adapters can use the minus T trace command when used individually or when used together. and the verbose and depend options are usually added to the HTTP trace, as well as the timestamp, process ID, and spread ID undocumented options that we just covered when using the HTTP as the transport. And here's an example command line using the SOAP adapter with an HTTP transport and the tracing. First box outline there is for the SOAP adapter, and that just has a plain minus T. And then for the HTTP transport, we have the trace with the enhanced tracing options added to it, and each of them have user-specified paths and file names, although those are the default trace names, M4, SOAP.MTR, and for HTTP.MTR. An example SOAP trace is below, and that basically shows the status of the connection as you go down. This is only a snippet of it. We're not getting the whole thing due to space constraints. Please move to slide 31. And here's an example HTTP trace. And in this particular example, the map did complete successfully. However, there was unexpected behavior reported. And what happened was, if you look down in the trace to where the highlight is with the box, it has an I in there. So it's greater than and then an I in parentheses. And the trace is showing that it was an incomplete response. And so it was an empty line returned from the server. Okay, and then in this particular instance, we had to go back and redo the trace with the enhanced tracing options. Please move to slide 32. Okay, now for the socket adapter, this is a situation where you must make sure that you have the correct configuration to ensure proper operation. If the socket adapter is in server mode, the socket adapter must be using the server IP address. If the socket adapter is in client mode and there is another socket application that's listening on a remote host, then use the minus host option and the address of the remote host IP. If the configuration is correct and there are errors encountered, then, of course, use the minus trace or minus T, which is the same thing. Use that command to generate the socket adapter trace, and the plus or append command can be added to append. The default file name is m4socket.log, S-O-C-K-T, and it's created in the map directory unless otherwise specified, and it can be user-specified like the other adapters as well. There's a snippet of a socket adapter trace below, and they tend to be a little bit sparser than some of the other adapters, but as you can see, it does give us an error message where it says connection failed with a return code of 161. There's no message that goes along with that error code, so in this situation, I would probably have to engage the engineer to find out exactly what that return code stands for. Please move to slide 33. Okay, for the Java class adapter, that's debugged using the minus T option to create an adapter trace file, and then also you use the JNI layer trace turned on in the DTX.ini file. The JNI layer trace is located at the bottom of the DTX under the following heading, and what I have there is exactly what you would see in the DTX.ini file. That's just copied and pasted directly from the file. And it gives you a little section there where you have a switch option and a file option. And you just uncomment the switch, change it to on, and uncomment the file option, and then give it an absolute path and the file name. You can also get verbose tracing by using the JVM options, which are below the JNI layer trace options. And there you would just uncomment one of the options and use minus verbose colon GC, and that would give you verbose information. And I actually found out from development that there are other options that we can use as well, but I got that information after the presentation was finalized, so I couldn't add it. If you would like that information, my email address is at the beginning of the presentation, And if you email me directly, I can send you the additional options that are now valid for use in the JNI layer trace. Please move to slide 34. Okay, and here's just an example Java class trace file. The first one's just an adapter trace, and you can see some of the information returned where it has a return code 0 for the connect and that type of thing. Below that's the JNI layer trace, and that's just showing you some of the options that are turned on, the XMS options for the memory, and it also, where the highlight is, it's saying that the verbose GC is enabled. Layer trace can tend to get kind of large, so it's something to keep an eye on if you're using that when you're troubleshooting. Please move to slide 35. Okay, we're going to move on to the SAP pack adapters. And the SAP pack adapters are the ALE adapter, the BAPI adapter, and the BDC adapter. Typically, we mainly are encountering usage of the ALE and the BAPI adapters. Please move to slide 36. Okay, now one thing to keep in mind with debugging the SAP pack adapters is that there are prerequisite SAP libraries that must be installed before the WTX SAP adapters will work. Following libraries must be obtained from SAP, and we have them listed there for Windows and Unix. There's the RFC32.dll, SAP J4FC, RFC.dll, and SAP JCO, and they're corresponding libraries for Unix. They have to be installed before anything will work. If they are installed and then you're encountering errors, then we can use the map audit log, the map trace, and the R3 audit and trace to troubleshoot the problem. And, of course, for the adapter trace, we use the -tv plus in the command or the rule that's encountering a problem. The default name for the trace is M for R3, and then whatever the adapter is, .mtr. So for an ALE, it would be M for R3, ALE.mtr. The default location is the map directory. You can also enable an audit by using -AR3+. And you put that in the command or rule. The default audit name, similar to the trace, is M4R3, whatever the adapter is, .log. And the default location, again, is the map directory. And for gathering component-specific information, specifically the RFC trace, for inbound issues, the RFC trace is activated when enabling the BAPI or ALE adapter trace with the -tv. By default, the file is created under the map folder, but you can change the location by setting the RFC trace dir environment variable. And you just set that to a valid path and folder, and you can have the RFC trace sent there. The default extension for the RFC trace is .rfc. For outbound issues, you have to run the SM59 transaction, the SAP GUI, to enable the trace and its destination directory. Please move to slide 37. Here's an example ALE trace. Some of the information that we see here is an error message. Down in the highlighted section, it says processing error, IDOC inbound asynchronous, trying to access row values in a table which does not have any rows yet. So this is reporting an error, and the map did error in this particular situation, but the problem was on the SAP side. And, of course, that's the information that you want to know. Please move to slide 38. And here's an example of an ALE audit log. This is not as detailed as the trace, but it does show you exactly what you're retrieving from SAP. And there are multiple sections in here for each connection attempt. First one that's highlighted there says RFC completed, one IDOC received successfully from R3. And then that repeats a few times. And then the last one indicates that there were 8 IDOCs received successfully from R3. Please move to slide 39. And here's an example RFC trace. And down at the bottom, you can see that we are getting an error where it says RFC abort. and then it does report a return code of 18 and a message indicating that there's an RFC invalid handle. So all this information taken in totality will give you a picture of exactly what's happening with your environment and with the adapter. Please move to slide 40. Okay, that wraps up the adapter-specific portion of the presentation. In regards to contacting technical support, keep in mind that there is a lot of information on the WTX support site. There are tech notes there. There's release notes and documents. You can find APARs, which are the problems that have been fixed. They should be published as they are fixed. Must gathers, which will list everything that you would need to submit to support for a particular issue. They're out there as well as information on how to send data to support. Please move to slide 41. Another thing to keep in mind when contacting technical support for a speedy resolution, try and simplify your test cases as much as possible and remove any third-party dependencies. If you can do that, I realize in some cases that's not possible, but if you can simplify it as much as possible, it'll be much easier to get a quick turnaround for the problem. The faster we can set it up in support, the faster we can get it to engineering to determine what the cause of the problem is, and the faster we can get a fix to you. Another thing to keep in mind is if you do have third-party applications, like you're using a database for an input or MQ for an input, you can use the input card backups to create backup files, and then we can eliminate either MQ or the database from the equation when trying to run the map, and we can just use the backup files. Of course, that's assuming that the problem, the adapter problem, is on the output side or somewhere in the map rule. Please move to slide 42. Okay, so to recap, for adapter failures and issues, what you want to do is basically get a total picture of what's happening. There's basically three components. You have the map itself, the adapter, and then the environment that it's running in. So you want to know what each one of those three things is doing, whether the map's failing or it's succeeding, whether the adapter is failing or succeeding, what data is coming from the environment that it's in. And to do that, you use the adapter traces, you use the map audit logs, and use the input and output card backups. Also, you can check the management console. If you're using the launcher, that will give you information on what adapters are failing and what the return codes are. And you can enable the connections manager trace in the DTX.ini and check the compoundsystem.log directory, which is created in the logs directory of the WTX install. Please move to slide 43. Okay, this time I'm going to turn the presentation back over to Joseph.
Thank you, Arun and Phil, for an excellent presentation. At this point in time, Amy, we would like to open the lines for questions.
We do have a question from Mr. Ramaswamy. Your line is open.
Good presentation. We will use WTX mostly in a WMB environment. Do these DTX INI and other changes, other items presented for debugging apply for a WMB environment as well or just for the launcher?
Some of the settings or the options of the DTX.ini do apply for the WMB as well as the command server API environment as well. So I believe we may have to confirm it, but I believe the JNI layer trace and probably even the connections manager tracing does apply for the API and the WMB environment as well.
Okay. Is the documentation state what options apply in a WMB environment and what do not?
I am not sure about that. We can check into that and always request for it to be added to the documentation if it's missing. I had not seen it earlier. That's a very valid and good question. I had not seen that earlier, but if it's missing or if it's not there, we can always request it to be added.
I don't think it's gathered all together in one place at this point.
No.
Something that should
There are no other questions.
Thank you, Amy. And at this time, we will conclude the presentation.